12 minutes past hour of 9, this is the social program on Radio Islam International. With us in studio this morning, Maulana Ibrahim Bam, Mufti Yusuf Musaji, also with us this morning in studio. Maulana Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners.
And joining us as well this morning in the studio, Mufti Yusuf Musaji. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, we have been doing and we have been serializing different books in our social hour. And we've also chosen topics that were contemporary and were useful in terms of the social program. One book that we found to be extremely interesting, which is very compatible and related to our topic, was the book that has been written by Mufti Yusuf Musaji, 30 Ways to Happiness. And after Mashura with Mona Ibrahim Daya, we felt that maybe we should be serializing that book. And while we decided on it, what greater joy and what greater relevance can there be that we first speak to the author himself? So that's the reason why we got Mufti Yusuf Musaji in our studios today for the program. If anyone was confounded or perplexed by that, why do we have Mufti Yusuf Musaji in the program? So that is the reason why. And Maulana, maybe you could just lead us through the reasons why you had penned this book and why you had authored the book and why you have compiled this book.
Maulana, jazakumullah khair for the opportunity. I'm really humbled to be here. It's really an honor. May Allah Rabbul Izzah make it useful and beneficial, inshallah. So the book came away by some coincidence, so to say. Towards the end of 2019, we were discussing some relevant topics that we should cover on air. And at that time, we looked at the fact that, there was an increase in awareness with regards to mental health issues, that people were struggling with mental health issues, and it is a real issue. In some instances, there's a need for professional help. In other instances, there is practical steps that could be taken that could help a person get through mental health issues. And there was one study that was conducted in the United States of America where there were three groups of people, or in fact, there was a group of people that came on the campus to the mental health faculty, and they were asking for help. And those in charge of the faculty divided them into three groups, and the one group was given treatment, and together with the treatment, they were told to journal something that they felt good about, positive about. The second group was given the same treatment, and they were told to write their inner fears down. And the third group was given the same treatment, but they were told not to do anything, but just to continue with the treatment. And it was found that the group that journaled something positive down, there was a positive improvement on their mental health over a period of time. And that was just through writing down what you felt good about, what you felt positive about. So that being one of the motivational factors that could help people that are struggling with mental health issues. Also, we find that happiness is one of the most universally sought after desired states. And many people search for it in the wrong places. And we were hoping that through this, we could give people a map towards how to attain it, inshallah.
And I think mental health is something that is perhaps one of the challenges of our time. And as you had said correctly, that there is no doubt whatsoever that this is one of the things that we need to be dealing with. How are we going to deal with it is something, and one of the ways is to deal with it in looking at things positively. And something that I tweeted yesterday, which I made a graphic about, is that no matter how tainted your past is, your future is spotless. And part of sometimes things that exacerbate mental health and our challenges and our anxieties is dwelling too much on the past. And rather let us look forward to the future with positivity and hope. There is nothing much that you can do with regard to what has already happened, other than taking lessons, and if there is something that is wrong, that you have to rectify it and make tawbah for it. But we have to look at the future with hope. These are some of the tips I would assume that you might have put into the book with regard to 30 ways to happiness, because if the idea and the intention, as you had mentioned, is that you wanted to create a positive mindset. Now, why 30 ways to happiness in creating that positive mindset?
Chima, you know, the thing is that these days people have some sort of apathy towards, you know, reading long books and reading things. You know, we become accustomed to bite size and short things and things that are easily grasped. So we thought of using a method and a way and a structure that would capture or captivate people's attention and would be very short and direct. The message is clear. So that is why we went the route of, you know, outlining a roadmap, 30 ways, and people can read one chapter individually and take a message from that, or they could read it collectively, you know, and in that way. So that was the understanding behind it, and it's in a very easy to read manner that is uncomplicated, and the points are very clear, and in the chapter itself, someone is able to draw out a point which they can then practice upon, inshallah.
So what would you be telling the listeners to look forward to as we serialize the book? Is there some motivation from your side as an author that inshallah would help us? And I'm sure I will be able to benefit from it. I've read most of the book, if not the entire book. So inshallah, is there anything that you would like to say that maybe this could be points that listeners could benefit from, or it could be useful?
Well, firstly, we're looking to, you know, your own discussion on the points and the topics and expanding on it, inshallah. And that will be very, very useful for the listeners, inshallah. And I think, you know, the most important thing that people will be able to gain from this book is the fact that we shouldn't be waiting for a particular thing to happen in our lives. Because when we're waiting for something, it leaves us in limbo. Or we shouldn't be wanting something, because when we want something and that doesn't happen, then it leaves us in a state of unhappiness. So I think what we can take from this book is that the tools to live a happy life are at our disposal, and we need to tap into that and to exploit, inshallah.
Jazakallah. Sometimes the tools are there, but there isn't the happiness. Now, the challenge would be to use those tools to achieve the objective.
Gee, certainly, Ma.
Jazakallah so much for your time, and inshallah, we hope that
before you leave, Mufti, the few listeners that have just asked, where is the book available?
It's available at all leading Islamic stores, inshallah.
And they can contact the radio as well if they want a copy.
And maybe I can just ask a question if they want a personalized or autograph. Could that also be arranged?
Gee, inshallah, definitely.
You see, something very interesting. I'll just give you one small anecdote. When I went for Hajj some years back, and I took for reading material a book by on Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali. So I was reading it in Mina, and someone told me that Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali's son, Maulana Arshad Madani, is in the nearby tent. So that just all of a sudden that thought came to me to take this book and tell the man whose son is here to write something on it. So I took, I said, I'm reading Asiran and Malta, which is about your father. Write something on this particular book. And he wrote it, and I've kept it quite well there. You know that, you know, this is something that I treasure, that the book on Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, his son has written something on the front page of it. So, yeah, so maybe it is some benefit.
After the program, I will just line up there with our books. And you can give us some messages on our copies of the book. Jazakumullah khairan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mufti Yusuf Musaji speaking to us about his book, 50 Ways to Happiness. What inspired him to write the book, the topic as well. Ma, we will be doing this book every week. We'll be looking at different chapters of the book. If we look at the book, at the very beginning, Mufti explains about the search for happiness, that people are always in search of happiness. If you ask someone, what is it that they want? They say, I want a happy life. I want to do something that makes me happy. There is this thought, or everybody's looking for happiness in some way or the other.
Yes, I think it's important. And the way Firstly, there are 30 ways which Mufti Saab has outlined, and I think it's very, very interesting. But what he has started off by saying, what is happiness? Now, it's my compliment and my honor that together with Mufti Razaul Haq Saab, my ustad, and Maulana Suleiman Rawat, who has written a preface, there's also a message of mine which is in the introduction and of the book. Now, in that I've made mention that the Deen of Islam is a comprehensive way of life and covers every aspect of our life, even things that you and I would regard as sometimes minute or not important. Islam has covered that also. The very famous incident comes to mind. Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, one day someone came and said, your prophet even teaches you how to relieve yourselves. And perhaps if someone would have asked us that question, we would have gone into a shell, or we would have been having an inferiority complex, and we said, yes, it's there, but it's not so important. It's not a fundamental of deen. But the Salman al-Farsi didn't adopt that attitude. What he did was, he said, yes, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, this is how we are supposed to relieve ourselves. And he took pride in it. So even those things that you and I might regard as not essential, Islam has covered. And a situation like happiness and well-being is definitely going to be covered by Islamic teachings. And the well-being of an individual is dependent upon him being sound and well physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. Right, now, all of that we regard to be part and parcel of well-being and happiness. We can understand physical well-being will be part of overall well-being. Sometimes you can have the best things in the world. You can have a good family. You can have wealth, but you don't have health. You lose the focus, or you lose the pleasure of life. Similarly, with regard to intellectual or emotional well-being. But of course, today, unfortunately, we have the situation where people associate happiness primarily with wealth or money. And we know that there are so many instances that people have had wealth, but they have never had true well-being. They've never had contentment. They've never had satisfaction. They've never had happiness, despite the fact that they've got the greatest amount of wealth. So wealth doesn't guarantee happiness. Although there's a humorous saying that whoever says wealth cannot bring happiness doesn't know where to shop. Yeah. So, you have that. But the reality of it is the definition of happiness has changed, as Mufti Saab very beautifully puts it. And he said, today happiness is largely equated with wealth and the accumulation of material possessions. So you're all the time searching for the latest gadget. If you have an S9, then you want the S20, and then you got the S20, you want the S22. And it carries on like that. I'm not so acquainted with the iPads and that, so Monana, you might be knowing those. So I just gave you an example of the Android phones. So people seem to associate happiness with wealth, entertainment, having a good time, vacations, exotic holidays. This, however, is not true happiness. Pleasure is a temporary fleeting feeling, whereas happiness is an emotion that comes from within us. So beautifully put. Yes. And our ulama have made mention with regard to it that sometimes contentment and happiness is something else. And the means of happiness or the means of contentment, the means of satisfaction is something else. And how can I put it? Other than to put it in perhaps this way, you can spend the greatest amount of money to have the means to have a wonderful night of sleep. Mm. So you can spend thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, to have a beautiful bedroom. The everything would be fine. The decor would be fine. You'll have pastel colors, because they say pastel and neutral colors are good for a relaxing atmosphere. You might get the best of mattresses. First, once upon a time, Sealy Posturopedic was the one. Now, I don't know, there's Simmons and there are different types of mattresses. Someone told me you can even pay almost 100,000 rand for a mattress. Mm. And you can have the best of pillows what they call Down's pillows, and I don't know all these type of things.
Memory foam
and all those type of things. You can spend thousands, hundreds of thousands, but you can't buy sleep, even if you spend ₹1 million.
That's so true.
So the means of a good sleep is there, but sleep you can't buy. So sometimes people can have all of that, but they can't have sleep. And alhamdulillah, there are people who just put their head on the pillows and they fall off to sleep. And I'm one of those fortunate ones. Put me down on the pillow. And even if I get a 10-minute power nap, which Maulana Habib Babat is a very big proponent of, have small power naps throughout the day. It keeps you fresh. So yes, those type of things are important. So means of happiness is something else, and happiness is something else. So today, as Mufti Saab has written in the very introduction to his book, people seem to associate happiness with entertainment, having a good time and having fun. That, however, is not true happiness. Pleasure is a temporary, fleeting feeling, whereas happiness is an emotion that comes from within us, not from something that is outside us, not from an external source, and it is deeper and much more longer lasting. When we think of happiness, we need to think beyond temporary, simple pleasures which gives the illusion or gives us happiness for a short period of time. We need to redefine happiness. And as Mufti Saab would say, happiness is a consistent state of mental, spiritual and emotional well-being.
So that's a bit of an intro into the book. It's now almost 9:30 here on Radio Islam International, the social program. We're going to take an ad break, and followed by that, it's the news headlines. On the other side of that, we'll be discussing our topic for this morning, and that is happiness through the remembrance of Allah. That is chapter 1 in the book. You can interact with us. We always love to hear from you. 072-786-1548. That is our WhatsApp number. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. This is the social program on Radio Islam International. And this morning on the program, we start in the book, Mufti Yusuf Musaj's book, 30 Ways to Happiness. We'll be looking at different chapters of the book. Well, earlier on, you mentioned about Maulana Hussein Ahmed Madani, rahimahullah, and I see someone has sent a message saying that Maulana Yaqub Qasmi Saab of Dewsbury has passed away. He was the last living student of Shaykhul Islam, Maulana Hussein Ahmed Madani, rahimahullah.
Jazakallah for that. I don't think he's the last living student. There are students. In fact, there is a student presently in South Africa, Maulana Abdul Khaliq Mullah, who is also the student of Maulana Hussein Al Madani Rahmatullah Ali. So it's not correct to say he's the last living student. I'm not sure if there are other students of Maulana Shaykhul Islam in UK, but I know of someone who is in South Africa, and there are other students perhaps in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. But of course, he was one of the students, and anyone who was a student of Shaykhul Islam is worthy of our respect and admiration. Maulana Yaqub Qasmi, marhum rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah ta'ala elevate his status, son, studied with us in Binori town, and he was a classmate and a class fellow and a roommate, in fact, Maulana Marhub. So yes, I would like to reach out to him on the passing away of his father, as he was a classmate and a class and a roommate. May Allah Ta'ala grant Maulana Yaqub Qasmi the highest stages in Jannah.
Amen. Well, in terms of interaction from the listeners, what type of interaction should we expect?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe it will be a good thing to see if anyone has read the book or are aware of the book. I think it'll be nice to see that it is such an important topic, given the emphasis upon it for various reasons. We all know that there is emphasis upon it. There is this great amount of emphasis on these type of situations, mental health, happiness, prosperity. People like to read about it. In fact, these are one of the most the greatest bestsellers nowadays. If you go into the bookshop, you go to exclusive books, you will find the shelves on mental and emotional and physical well-being is the ones that are most likely read. And today everyone likes to have a positive mindset, and they believe that positive mindset will give you the type of well-being that we crave for. So I think it's important that if anyone knows about the book, and what would their definition be with regard to happiness? I think it's something that maybe that's what we're looking for from the listeners.
So drop us a message, 0727861548. You can call us as well on 011-854-1548. But I see chapter 1 where he speaks about happiness through the remembrance of Allah. And in the message that Maulana had written in the start of the book as well, the ayah is mentioned there, Allah bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that in the remembrance of Allah lies the contentment of the heart.
Yes, everyone wants to be happy. In fact, everyone deserves to be happy. And the reason why we say you deserve to be happy is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also wanted happiness, and he made dua for happiness when he saw when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling, and Sahaba said, we never saw anyone who was more excessive in smiling than our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the time he was smiling. And when Umar radiallahu anhu one day saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling, he said, Adhakallahu sinnaka ya Rasulullah. May Allah ta'ala always keep you smiling, ya Rasulullah. Today, if you get someone who sees another person happy, he frowns. Mm-hmm. Today, people are not jealous, or people are not sad because of their own problems. They are sad about the happiness of others. So we're supposed to be sharing the happiness of others, but of course, that's another topic. So everyone deserves happiness, and he deserves to be happy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzun. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from sorrow and grief. No one likes grief. No one likes challenges. Mm-hmm. One of the beautiful du'as of Hizbul Azam, which I try to read as much as possible, Allahumma al-tuf bi fi taysir kulla asir, fa inna taysira kulla asir alayka yasir. Oh Allah, grace us by granting us ease. Today the salat and the place where I read Fajr, the Imam read this dua. Allah, he read this whole dua, and then he followed it up with, "Allahumma inni as'aluka al-yusra wal-mu'afat al-da'ima." Oh Allah, we seek ease from you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, "Oh Abbas, always ask Allah for afiyat, for well-being, for ease. For there is nothing better than you can ask Allah Ta'ala for, but for asking Allah Ta'ala for ease." So we don't ask Allah for difficulty. We always ask Allah Ta'ala for ease, and we want ease. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzun. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from grief and sadness. So we deserve to be happy, but true happiness is derived from one's relationship with Allah and seeking the permanent eternal happiness of the year after, which is Jannah. Yes, we do need a certain degree of physical well-being. We do need a certain degree of emotional well-being, and we do need a certain degree of wealth. There is no doubt that wealth, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, it helps, but it's not the main cause, and the primary, you know, reason for our existence is only to accumulate more and more wealth. The believer finds happiness in sincere worship of Allah and in experiencing a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Sahib writes, Mufti Yusuf Musaji, in Islamic literature, Sa'id literally means as happy. It is used to describe a believer who is a devout worshipper of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A happy person is one who calls on Allah late at night while others are sleeping, or wasting their time in vain entertainment or social media. A happy person is someone whose eyes is quick to tear when the name of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَعَزَّتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran in Surah Anfal in the first said this, that people, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, you find that it has an impact upon their heart, you know, and they cry. In fact, the pious bondsman of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to ask Allah Ta'ala, and they used to be worried if they can't cry at the mention of Allah and the Rasul of Almighty Allah. Mm-hmm. Nowadays we have a situation, if someone cries, then people find it untowards. Why are you crying? You know, but the pious predecessors, when they couldn't cry upon the mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to be worried. So that is how we look at it. Serenity can only be found in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. As Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, those who believe, in whose hearts find rest and find solace, find contentment in the remembrance of Allah. And Allah, so beautifully says Allah. The word Allah in the Arabic language is be aware. I'm reminding you about something that is very important. Allah, Allah, bi dhikrillah, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will hearts find true contentment and satisfaction.
Subhanallah. But it is only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, where a person will really find true contentment. And why is mentioned in this book, when we speak about the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when the word dhikr is mentioned, well, we would normally think that it's some tasbih that needs to be read or certain phrases, but it's much broader than that.
Yes, I think it's a very important point. When we talk about zikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, normally our minds go up towards the fact that I must be reading tasbih, I must be reading istighfar. Yes, we must always be reading that. It must be a constant thing that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. In fact, one of the Sufis' methods of making tasbih is known as pas and fas. Pas and fas is you remember Allah ta'ala while breathing in and while breathing out. There's a specific method with regard to it. Now, that is one aspect of the zikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ulama have mentioned that the most important part of remembering Allah is the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala at all times. That you remain aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remain aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in your life. And once you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in your life, then there is very seldom you are going to go in the path of transgression. So I think it's important that we always bear this in mind, that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that we do things, inshallah. I think it's important because, I'm just giving an example, right? A man is about to sign off a business deal, all right? And there's something that is in front of him to sign, and then he goes to a mufti. The mufti say that, listen, this clause is against the commands of Allah Ta'ala. It involves interest. And he's about to sign, and then he says, no man, now they've told me it's interest. He lifts his pen up. He doesn't sign the contract. Yeah. To me, and according to the ulama, that is zikr. That is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you not signing that contract? It's lucrative. You apparently you're going to be making money. Apparently, I use the word very deliberately. Apparently, you're going to be making money, but you refuse to sign it because you say no, it is against the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So even in that situation, you haven't used the tasbih to take Allah Ta'ala's name, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, which of course is meritorious on its place. That action of yours, not signing that contract because against the commands of Allah, is zikr. You are going on the street. Your heart, your eyes come across by mistake, not deliberately, come across someone from the opposite gender, right? And Nabi Karim Sawsam said the first case, if unintentional, is forgiven. Now, we don't know how our youngsters say, no, the first gaze, I can do it for 20 minutes. Now, that doesn't work like that, you know. The moment you see something, and then you say, listen, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Tell unto the believing males to cast their gazes down. Tell unto the believing females to cast their gazes down and not look at the opposite gender, especially with lust. With lust is even more worse. Or with longing. So now, you in that position, your eyes goes towards someone whom you admire, you find attractive, there's a longing, there's a desire, but you say this is against the commands of Allah, and you put your gaze down. Mm. Right? And you say, no man, I can't do this, Allah's command tells me not to do this. Wallahi al-Azim, that is remembrance of Allah. You are doing it because of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remembrance of Allah ta'ala is not only taking the name of Almighty Allah, it's a conscious decision to try and bring your life in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. And that is why Allah ta'ala says, wa aqimis salata li dhikri, establish salat for my remembrance. There is nothing better than Salat, but even the purpose of Salat is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is throughout the day, that whenever you come across any situation or any decision that you make, you need to be conscious, you need to be aware of what will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the command? What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to do at that moment? That all acts of worship are the dhikr or the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only in this will we find contentment. You can interact with us, 072-786-1548. That's our WhatsApp number. The lines are also open. Our engineer is standing by on 011-854-1548.
Yes, that is the main aspect with regard to remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do the bidding of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your given situation. So in your situation, whatever you are doing, I do it in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be a very amazing, now you see, the type of contentment that come by the zikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a contentment that comes like, being on the beach, for example, or watching something that is beautiful amongst the signs of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a different type of joy. It's a joy that comes from the heart. It emanates from within. And I think that is very, very important for us to understand. It's not a temporary, fleeting type of joy. It is a permanent type of joy. It's a type of, and this used to remind me of, I think it was Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani of Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, one of the great scholars. They used to say that the contentment Allah has given us because of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the wealthy people and the rulers come to know about that contentment we have, they will try and send their armies to try and take it away from us. But they won't be able to take it away from us because it's an inner feeling, a feeling that you can never ever be able to take away by force, because it doesn't have a substance. It is an inner feeling of contentment, satisfaction, tranquility. How that tranquility you can't put into a physical expression. You can't put it. You can't quantify it. You can't explain it. But it is something that is unique. It gives you true contentment.
Well, that's so true. When a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person is in that state, then it will bring about contentment, it will bring tranquility in his life. Why, you can continue?
Yes, I think that is an important. Dhikrullahi dawa'am li kulli da'in. The remembrance of Allah ta'ala is a cure for all ailments. And one form of zikr is to constantly make mention of the name of Almighty Allah. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَن تَمُوتَ وَلِسَانَكَ رَدْبٌ مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The most beloved sight to Allah is for a person to leave this world while his tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi had said that the remembrance of Allah is his paradise on earth. And whoever does not enter it here in this world will not enter the paradise of the year after. The remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the paradise on earth. And whoever does not enter it here will not enter it into the paradise of the year after.
SubhanAllah.
And tranquility does not transpire automatically, as Mufti Sahib has written. It is a state of being that transitions through conscious thought. It is a path that has to be walked upon and consists of deeds that have to be done in order for us to reach a station where we are at peace with ourselves. When you are at peace with yourself, which comes about by the remembrance of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that transforming into a situation of peace in our other matters of life. So it's not a type of pleasure or a type of sensation, a physical sensation. It is a type of pure tranquility that comes about when we realize that Allah Ta'ala is in control of things and we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Let's just go through some of the messages and the thoughts of the listeners. One listener saying that they're really enjoying the topic, the happiness through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would just like a bit of advice that at times when you are going through a bit of a rough patch in life, and at that time, even when a person does do the dhikr or the actions that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't take away that stress or that feeling of uneasiness.
Well, you see, one of the things that you must remember when we say that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us contentment, and it doesn't mean that there are not going to be challenges in life. It's just to gain a perspective. I think I made mention of this previously once on one occasion, that one day there was in the court of Alamgir. Alamgir was one of the good rulers, was a pious ruler, although he is perceived or portrayed very differently when you go to India in today's time because of the different types of leanings that have come about in India. So one day there was a fruit of the new season. Now it's a sunnah, or it's an etiquette, that when the fruit of the new season come, you give it to a small child because he's innocent. So they gave it to the small child, and he gobbled it up and he ate it very quickly. But when they were giving it to the elders, for some reason they could not take it because it was too bitter, and it was not palatable. Mm. So Alamgir asked the child, and he said that how did you eat that? He said, when I took it, I found it to be so unpalatable. I was about to throw it up when the thought came into my mind that, Ya Allah, you have given me so many good things in life. I've never been sufficiently grateful to you for that. And now, if something unpalatable comes once, I feel shy, Ya Allah, to throw it up. So maybe we just need to have a perspective. Yes, there is an uneasiness. There is some sort of tension. But comparative to the good things Allah has granted us, where does it fit in? So yes, when we say we must be contented, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be challenges. What the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala makes the challenges slightly easier for us to deal with it and to handle.
Yeah, when you understand that every situation or the condition is from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then you rely on Allah Azza wa Jal, and of course you have to do or take action as well, it makes it much easier through that difficulty or that challenge that you are facing.
Yes, Moana, and then tranquility does not, as I said, and transpire automatically. Is a state of being that, through that transitions through conscious thought, is a path that has to be walked upon and consists of deeds that have to be done in order for us to reach that position where we are at peace with ourselves. Part of the desire to achieve tranquility is indeed within the essence of ourself. Allah Ta'ala has created within us an emptiness, a vacuum, that can be filled only by His remembrance. It's something that is there. Yes, we do have vacuums. Mm. Everyone has got vacuums. I remember when I became a grandfather first, someone sent me a small saying that grandchildren fill an emptiness in your life that you never knew existed. And only people who've got grandchildren will be able to identify with it. Grandchildren fill an emptiness in your life that you never thought was there. Mm. And only when you get them, then you realize that that was definitely a vacuum. That definitely was an emptiness. So, yes, and that is a reality with regard to it, that Allah has kept. And to me, one of the greatest tragedies of our time is that we are seeking to fill that vacuum with a host of other things.
Right.
So, but we're not realizing that there is that vacuum. The vacuum is there. But what am I supposed to fill that vacuum with? So, some people feel that I'm going to fill that vacuum with another sniff of heroin or drugs or tick or whatever you call it. I don't even know. Is it tick or tick?
Tick.
Tick. You know the name properly yourself. I don't even know the name properly. Tick or whatever it is. Mandrax. Once upon a time, Mandrax was a big thing when we were early. I don't even know it exists. Do people still use it or what? So why are people using it? There's that vacuum. Now they're thinking that vacuum is going to be filled by that. There are some people who feel that vacuum will be filled by, unfortunately, by having affairs. Some people feel that vacuum is going to be filled by entertainment. But what we don't realize, that particular vacuum Allah has kept, that vacuum needs to be filled. But it needs to be filled with the commands of Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi has written a very profound paragraph, and I think it might be a good way to end our program today, which is so apt. He writes, in the heart there is a sense of restlessness which can only be gathered by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the heart, there is a sense of loneliness which can only be removed by coming closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the heart, there is a fear and anxiety which only leaves by fleeing to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. And in the heart, there is a sense of regret which can only be removed by being satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us happiness and contentment through His obedience and His remembrance. Well, that brings us to the end of the first chapter of this book. And inshallah, in the coming weeks, we will continue with the different chapters in this book.
Jazakumullahu khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.